Caitlin Bristow hosts the hilarious, relatable, always honest, kind of feels like you're hanging out with your best friends podcast Off the Vine every Tuesday and Thursday. Tuesday episodes are interviews with guests like Wells Adams, Rachel Lindsay, Nikki Glasser, and Lisa Vanderpump to talk about everything from career to relationships to mental health. Thursday's episodes are called Grape Therapy, which are sometimes bachelor recaps, sometimes giving advice and hearing from listeners on the Vine hotline, or sometimes just catching up with a friend. Listen to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow wherever you get your podcast. We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone. If only you had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. All right, y'all, things are about to get intense. Like, we're staring into the eyes of our lifelong crush for a minute straight, intense. Intense heat, lasting plump from the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. It's formulated with chili pepper, delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. It's available in 8 sizzling shades. My favorite I've been wearing the past few days is the Blush Blaze. Y'all, this color is beautiful. But when I say the sensation is intense, it is. It feels like, in the best way possible, you rubbed a jalapeno all over your lips. So if you love that sensation, you are going to love this. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time. Seriously, y'all, like, this color is beautiful and the heat is piping. Hi, I'm Hannah Brown and welcome to Better Tomorrow. My absolute favorite thing to do is have a heart-to-heart talk with my new friends and my best friends, where we sit down and talk about all the things like relationships and love, faith and self-care. And of course, the little things as well, like the struggle to figure out what to eat tonight. All in all, I really want to ask, how am I better today than yesterday? And bring artists, entrepreneurs, and friends along on the journey. So join me on the journey, will you?
Other Valentine, that is so, I love you.
I love you.
Thank you.
Because I really do believe, so we're recording this on Valentine's Day. Hey, everyone. Thank you for listening, tuning in to Better Tomorrow. Nora DeKaiser, my best friend, is here again. I'm so happy that you're here. But I also wanted to make sure that Nora felt special and loved today for me, because I do feel like friendships are like one of the like greatest loves that we can experience in this life.
I agree.
And I just, you're my other Valentine.
You and I are getting like teary-eyed right now.
Because we've really like both been working on trying to understand like how we want to show up as individuals, but how we want to show up in friendship. And I think it's really hard to know what true friendship looks like, because I feel like, just like romantic love, we sometimes can be fed a lie in our culture of what it actually is to be a friend. And learning and being able to like grow with a friend and stumble and maybe fall short sometimes, totally, and then show up like that's so, I'm so thankful that I have somebody that's working on it with me.
Yeah.
And for me in a way, to be able to serve me better and I can serve you better. So anyway, Happy Valentine's Day.
Thanks, Han. Yeah. The note says, my other Valentine. I love that. Love you.
I love you. I made this. I cut all those flowers this morning for you, but it kind of tried to
Hannah! Do
my
thing.
But that's also one of my favorite things to do. So it was fun.
Love it.
But y'all, I'm so excited that we have Nora on again. So we had you on not too long ago, and I loved it personally because I just obviously feel so comfortable with you, and it was fun to be able to share just our dynamic with everyone. And it's a perk for me in our relationship, in our friendship, that you are a life coach. But I also think it's really great that somebody that I'm really close to can come on here and not just speak wisdom and life into me, but speak it into you guys that are listening. So I want to have Nora on more, not only just to, for y'all to like kind of get a feel of like our day-to-day life together and kind of had that. I feel like people like listening to podcasts to kind of like eavesdrop on what's going on with the people that they want to listen to. So definitely have that going on, but also be able to utilize your value that you give to the people that you work for as a coach. And so I was wondering if you just like give a short synopsis of what it is that you actually do as a life coach and what type of questions can people start sending in and really utilizing this amazing opportunity we have with Better Tomorrow to have Nora come on and share and help us as we try to like live our life a little bit better every day.
I love that because everyone I work with is trying to make their life better every day. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're such good friends, because we both do the work ourselves. And we also love to help other people grow and learn mm-hmm. and become more authentic in who they really are. That makes us both really happy. So I'm so excited to be on the podcast more often and really be your guys' coach. I personally used podcasts as my own life coach from like 20 till 30 and still do. But there was like a period of time where if I was confused about what to do in my life, which way to turn, really who I was in general, I would go to podcasts and I would feel less alone. And I feel like there was people out there that were searching or seeking in the same way I was. I do think there's other ways that you can gain confidence in who you are more than podcasts. This is just one avenue. So soak this up. I'm so excited to be your guys' coach.
It's a great first step.
Yeah, I think it's a great first step.
Because y'all, life coach, like deciding to hire and invest in a life coach is an investment. So this can kind of be like your teaser and taste of what it would be like, not just to work with Nora personally, which you definitely could, but also just if this is something that you really maybe should invest your time, your money into. But I think sometimes it's great to just like know what it is that you're getting
totally
in a podcast and being able to listen into these conversations is a great little first step.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree.
So can you tell people just quickly, like, you've been doing this for how long now?
Yeah, good question. And like, what is coaching? I heard that too. Because coaching is a newer industry. It was created right after World War II. A bunch of psychologists, psychiatrists got together and they were like, okay, we are really helping people with more severe pathologies. So people who have more severe depression or severe anxiety or severe schizophrenia. But what about the person who's a pretty high functioning person that just wants to get to the next level of success in their life? Who's helping those people? And so they created something called positive psychology, which is where coaching is rooted in and from. And it's really based on people's values, who they are, who they want to be, how they want to show up in the world, where they want to go next, what are their goals. It's very future focused instead of past focused.
And past focus is a lot of times like what you would go for therapy. Because I think a lot of times it's hard to know like,
what's the difference?
Do I need to go to therapy or do I need a life coach?
Yeah.
What would you say? What would you say to somebody who is like questioning, okay, do I actually need a life coach right now or do I need a therapist right now in this season of life? Or heck, you probably need both.
I was about to say they work in tandem.
Yeah.
Very synergistically. And so a lot of my clients also are working with a therapist or have worked with a therapist in the past that has gotten them so far. And then they get to that point, which is where positive psychology is really rooted as, okay, what's next? Mm-hmm. How can I really be my best self, my most authentic self, which is why this podcast is perfect for people who are seeking and wanting to get to that next level of success or that next level in their life. In terms of like how to know, should you go to therapy or coaching first? I think this is so important, whether you're looking for a therapist or a coach, is to know why, mm-hmm. To really know what your ideal outcome is, because so many people do go to therapy or coaching, unfortunately, and they're just kind of like, I don't know, I'm just here. And then that might make you end up choosing a therapist or a coach that isn't the right fit for you because you weren't clear on what the exact outcome there is. There's so many wonderful therapists out there that specialize in ADHD or depression or schizophrenia or phobias. But if you're just going to a general therapist, like, I don't know, I'm just here, I don't feel good. You might go to a therapist that specializes in phobias and you're going to think, oh, therapy doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. Same thing with coaching. You might really need help in your relationship life, but you go to a career coach or a general life coach and you're like, I don't know, that didn't really work. But what I would challenge you to do is become your own coach. That's what I do with all of my clients. A success for me is when a client, after 6 months or a year working with me, they are so connected to their own self and their own values that when they do have any big questions that they're or decisions that they're making in life, they're able to be their own coach and really ask themselves powerful questions to get to the answer. And so similar, when you're choosing a therapist or a coach and trying to decide which one is best for you, ask yourself that powerful question of, okay, well, if this worked, if I worked with this coach or with this therapist for 6 months, what would success look like for me? What would the tangible outcomes be? Would I be in a healthy relationship? Would I know how to love myself? Would I be confident in who I really am? Would I know who I really am? That's what I originally went to coaching for. Would I have a dream career? Same with therapy. Would I have less anxiety? Mm-hmm. Would I be able to overcome this depression that I'm going through? Is it just a season or is it something that I actually need a prescription for? Like, there are so many ways towards healing and it's not one size fits all. And I think that's where the problem happens with coaching and with therapy is we don't know what size we want to fit, aka we don't know the outcome we really want to have. Then we end up getting frustrated either with ourselves or with the coach or the therapist, when in reality it's more so, hey, let's just get clarity on what your dream is, what your outcome is that you want, and then find a therapist or a coach that specializes in that specific thing.
Totally. And I think it's okay, like, to not know right off the bat, but it would be great if you did. I'll say that. But I do think sometimes it's like, obviously, I know I need help, but if I knew how, I would figure that out. So sometimes you just need to start trying. And hopefully, I feel like a good coach is going to ask you and make you learn and really investigate why you're there.
Yeah.
That's what like what you would do is, and that can kind of help navigate, okay, is this where I need to be? Because I know you've said to me, like, there's been a lot of times people would come to you and you'll be like, I don't know if I'm the best help for you. And you've gotten a lot clearer about what type of, like, ideal client you want to work with.
Totally.
And you can kind of tell us a little bit more about that. But I think that's really important, of just knowing, like, and having somebody kind of be able to guide you of, like, I don't know if I'm the best help for you.
Yeah.
And so what is it that you kind of ideally feel like you are the best to help somebody? Like, what type of ideal client would you have?
Oh my gosh, I love my clients. So I've been a coach for 5 years now. I started my business right after I left matchmaking. So I naturally segued into helping people with dating and relationships. And then through working with people on that topic, I realize it's not about finding the guy or finding the one. It's so much deeper than that, about finding yourself and finding out who you really are and being confident in who you are and knowing how to love yourself deeply. So that naturally attracted a lot of specifically women that were wanting to become more confident in who they are. And that naturally segued into women who were leaders, women who were founders, CEOs. I work with a lot of influencers on really knowing what their mission is in this world. And that is so deeply connected to what their values are, what they care about, who they really are. So it's usually people that are stuck in some area creatively, business-wise, sometimes relationships, but that, again, is way more connected to their relationship with themselves and helping them show up authentically, show up powerfully, show up as a leader. Mm-hmm. So I love working with female leaders. That's so much fun. And for anyone listening to this, if you're like, gosh, I'm not a female leader, I want you to know a female leader is a mother, it's a daughter, it's someone who's going to speak up about something that she's really nervous to speak up about. It's someone who has a dream of writing a book one day. it is every one of us that has that little part of us that says, I really want to do more, or I think I can do more, and I'm scared, or I feel stuck, or I don't know how. If that sounds like you, that is my bread and butter. That's exactly who I help. And to, like Hannah and I were just talking about, okay, some of us don't even know what we want help with, but we know we want help. The question I would, this is a coaching question, so write this down and think about this. The question I would ask is, if you could take a magic pill and have what you really want without any, like, you can keep this a secret. You don't have to tell anyone this. This is like your dreams inside your heart. If you could take a magic pill and have what you really want in 6 months or a year, what would that be? What would your life look like? What would your life feel like? What would it sound like? Who would you be around? Where would you be living? Let yourself dream very expansively, and that will give you some clarity of potentially what type of therapist or what type of coach or what type of book will help you get towards that goal.
I love that. I mean, we've talked about that, but I think that's a really good, like, tangible advice for somebody that's listening to kind of take it for a first step.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that we kind of took a little time to actually, like, talk about how Nora can, you know, really help you guys. But also I want to, like, ride the line of being able to, like, see Nora as an expert and be able to have these type of conversations. But also, she is my best friend. And I do love that we can kind of talk about what we're personally going through. But I think because both of our lens is a lens for each, like, for ourselves and for each other to, like, really help inspire and encourage and motivate through all the shit storms that there are in life. But we're not going to pretend like our life is perfect or that we figured it out just because that is the lens in which we hope to live. Like, we still have our own crap that we're trying to figure out. And being really honest about that is part of this podcast for me. And I think that's important sometimes for people to know, because sometimes you think, and I think we've talked about this, like, you being a life coach, it can kind of feel like, oh, I have to shut down these parts of me because I can't let people know that I still struggle. Or even for me as someone that's, like, trying to move forward in my life, sometimes I feel like, oh, if I keep talking or talk about this time that's hard for me or something I'm still dealing with, then, like, people aren't going to actually, I don't know, value other things that I have to say. But in reality, we're all equal. And as humans, we all are kind of going through the same thing. We have wisdom for each other based on whatever we've gone through in the past. We can't just pretend like we've got it all figured out. So I want to say that before we kind of start going into life updates, talking about our friendship, what we're kind of going through right now, because I feel like both Nora and I have had a lot of big, like, just realizations lately big in our life, like, huge ones. I feel like 2024 is going to be our year.
I think so, too.
I think it really is. And I'm so pumped that we can do it together. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Because mine has been a little drained. I feel like it's because, honestly, this weather here in Nashville, I feel like I haven't seen the sun that much. And I'm just needing a little bit more time outside, some more walks, just being more social, not just as cooped up. And it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? For me, I actually need to be a little bit more social. So I get excited and then can overwhelm myself a little bit too much with all the plans that I've had. But maybe you need a little bit less time and need some time to yourself to recharge. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/tomorrow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/tomorrow. Where am I engaged, girls? Congrats. You're engaged. So am I. Now you may be like me wondering what's next. If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola. Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place, including venue options and all your vendors. Plus, you can get designed, save the dates and invites, build a free wedding website, create your registry, and stay on track and on budget throughout the entire process with their free planning tools. Zola has created everything you need to make the whole process super easy and hopefully actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on the couch. Look, I have just now opened the can of worms of all that is wedding planning, but I'm so thankful for Zola because it can help make wedding planning so much easier for all of us engaged girlies. We need to be having fun. We need to be excited. It doesn't need to be a stressful process. And I feel like Zola can really help us engaged girlies enjoy this time of our life because we are celebrating the love that we have created and this beautiful new chapter in our life. And we do not need to be crying over napkins and invitations. So Zola's got us covered. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com. There have been many times in my life where I really thought I could trust my gut, but I definitely shouldn't have. Definitely with a lot of those exes in the past, when it comes to that low fuel flashing light on my car, I just always think that it's not really serious. Trust me, it is. I've been on the side of the road way too many times. Probiotics can't help with most of your gut decisions, but if your gut needs a little support, Ritual has your back. Ritual has made a 3-in-1 supplement with clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and a postbiotic to support a balanced gut microbiome, all in one minty capsule and no refrigeration needed. I love my Symbiotic Plus. I take it every day. It's great because it's got all the biotics in it for my probiotic. I feel like it's just really helping my gut in all the ways. And actually, Ritual even invested in a study modeling the human colon, which showed that Symbiotic Plus significantly increased the microbial diversity and the growth of beneficial bacteria. We love that. We love when the thing's actually doing the work that we need it to for our gut. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/HannahB. Start Ritual or add Symbiotic Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/HannahB for 25% off. But the last time we had you on, we were really pumped about a new guy in your life.
Yes, we were.
And we were so hopeful. And you were going on a date, I think after, but it was very beginning stages, but we were like, okay, this guy has a lot of the things that, you're really looking for on paper, but can you give us a little update about that?
Yes. Everyone sit down.
British guy.
The British guy. Let's sit around the fire and talk. I do want to say one quick thing. When it comes to like being a life coach and having these tools, and you also saying, but we're real and we go through hard shit, like we do. And I don't want anyone to ever think that if you work with a coach or if you work with a therapist, that life is just perfect after. That's like thinking it will never storm. And mm-hmm. It storms. Like, look at our world. The difference is you have an umbrella. And
oh, I love that.
Like, yeah. I still sometimes am often, not sometimes, often, I'm like, oh shit. This umbrella isn't working. I think I need a different umbrella. Or, oh, I forgot that I don't even need an umbrella and I can let it rain. Mm-hmm. So we hope that this podcast can help you guys not feel alone on your journey. Like, you're sitting here with me in hand and you're learning the tools while we're also learning the tools at the same time.
Totally. Yeah. I feel like, unfortunately, a lot of people don't have somebody that they can talk through the stuff with. And I hate that because I feel... And I've had seasons where I have not had somebody to talk to. And that's why I feel like this podcast also and like these type of conversations can really add value, because it's two friends that are like, okay, yeah, I'm going to tell you all the like shit that went down this weekend, all the mistakes that I made. But the other person that's listening isn't like, you know, trying to stir that up more. It's like, oh my gosh, me too. I've been there. And what can we learn from this?
Yeah.
How can we grow from this? Yeah. Like,
how can I support you?
How can I support you in whatever you're going through? Mm-hmm. Like, that is probably a new concept. It was a new concept for me in friendship. Like, I've had only like, I'm talking like maybe 2-3 friends in my life that have ever been able to like kind of be there for me like that. And I know I'm lucky to have 3.
Yeah.
So just want to preface that. And like, Nora is obviously like one of those friends that I can like hear everything that she's going through, I can be like, wow, okay, how can I support you? And right back at
and
it.
Vice versa. Yeah. Yeah. And so we want to do that with you guys. So we're excited. Okay. So back to the British guy. Last episode, I was very excited about him. I knew that it was new. So I was felt a little bit, to be honest, really silly, like telling so many people about this new guy. But that's what I would tell Hannah. Mm-hmm. So I'm telling you guys too, because we're all part of the crew now. So what happened with him? Oh, man, I don't even know how to answer. I'll back up a little bit to learn the lesson that I learned.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
The lesson I learned, and this was humbling, but we also.
So you're not getting married.
No, I'm not getting married. And unfortunately, I'm not going to do any more British accents for you guys. They were painful to listen to. But I also think they were pretty good. No, that was so bad. No,
it was so quite bad.
It's painful. It's quite bad. So what I learned, like the biggest lesson I learned, is I'm a lover and I love all sorts of people and things and places and experiences. Like you could put me anywhere and I just be like, I love this because I just love experiencing new things. Mm-hmm. And so the same thing happened with this guy. I was like so excited. And I think we just went too fast. Mm-hmm. He did say to me like a week into knowing each other, he was like, I don't know what's going on. Usually I want to see someone once a week. I want to see you every day. And I could have been like, no, let's see each other once a week. But I was so excited too, because he did have a lot of what I was looking for in a partner. But that's what happened. I realized I just went too fast. And I think after a few weeks of like really going that quickly, just like with what we were sharing and how much time we were spending together, then I kind of started feeling this anxiety come up of like, oh shit, like I actually don't know this guy very well at all. And we're acting like we are so close. So now I have to almost keep this performance up, like keep this act up as if we are close when I don't genuinely actually feel that close with him. And I shared that with him and we had a good conversation. I personally would have loved to continue getting to know him, mm-hmm. because I don't think it's a mistake to go too fast if you're able to have your bearings and slow down and say like, wait, let's slow down and let's get actually authentically get to know each other instead of just kind of sometimes when you're that into someone in the beginning, it almost feels like a drug at first. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, wait, let's slow down. He was like, oh, I kind of think you get one chance at this is what he said.
Yeah, I know. I hated that.
Yeah, I did too. I was like, okay. And I was really vulnerable. Like it doesn't feel good to say, hey, I'm actually still interested in getting to know you, because mm-hmm. he also felt like something shift. We both kind of felt like, oh shit, this is going too fast.
Well, I remember talking to you about it. I feel like he was super, a lot of guys, because Nora is like, so I mean, she's the best, but you can be like, guys either like they like fall in love with you instantly, and he did that. Mm-hmm. But then he started to like
pull away,
and that made you be like,
I freaked out.
You freaked out because you're like, wait, what is happening? And I feel like that brought up your
anxious patterns.
Yes, like super anxious and being like, wait, why isn't this guy still like I'm the, because you're usually the one that pulls away.
I'm usually the one that's a little more coy, yeah. and a little less like interested. Mm-hmm. And they usually come to me. So talking in language here that Hannah and I are both learning about right now, of attachment patterns, I actually learn I'm more avoidant attachment. Mm-hmm. Same. Yeah, we're both avoidant. Yay. And we're leaning towards secure. Yeah. And so I attract people in because apparently we're also both learning this, or I'm learning this, that when someone feels attraction for someone else romantically, it's oftentimes just anxiety.
Yeah.
And so when I lean a little bit more avoidant, it makes the guy feel a little more anxious. He thinks it's chemistry. He thinks he's like into me, but really he just feels nervous around me. And with this guy, he also was, in my opinion, a little more avoidant, like hard to read, a little more reserved, quieter. And so I was attracted to that because that ignited, quote unquote, chemistry in me, but actually anxiety. Yeah. It made me like, wait, who is this guy and like, what does he want? And like, oh, I feel so excited. I also think we had a lot of values in common. So that was
totally,
both can be true.
Yeah. I mean, the last podcast I did with Adam, we talked about like both Adam and I are super avoidant. Mm. And so like, I definitely think, and I feel like Adam and I have and are working towards an amazing, amazing relationship. So yes, of course it can work.
Yeah.
But two people, both people, wow. Choose one, Hannah. Both people have to like be willing to work on it. Yeah. I don't know if he fully, like his response was like, oh, we just get one chance.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh, if we only got one chance, Adam and I would have been done after week one. Like that's just.
And that's kind of what happened with me and this guy. And that's why I was sad. So first my anxiety came up because I was like, oh my gosh, this is just, it was kind of a perfect storm of this anxious avoidant dynamic, but not a storm in a bad way. I think it could have been totally worked through with clear communication and vulnerable communication, but he was not really interested in that, unfortunately. So that's okay. There's more people out there.
Totally. What would you say to somebody that like, what if you feel like you've learned from if somebody's in that same situation, like you did just really hear them clearly and have that conversation and like moved forward. But I feel like sometimes girls, we don't get it.
We don't get the memo. Keep trying
in some way.
Yeah. Like, which I have done.
Yeah.
You have done.
Totally.
Yeah. We're people who are keep trying, no shame, right? Like we get why you've done it because you're lovers. Like you want love. And that can create a lot of pain. So it was actually interesting when I did have the conversation with him. We both acknowledged, like, he was like, I don't know what happened. Like, and I was like, yeah, I was like, I actually have a guess of what happened.
Yeah.
And I shared exactly what I just shared here. We went really fast. And then I think on my end, at least, like I got anxious because I was acting in a certain way that I actually didn't feel authentic to be acting in. I didn't feel as close to you as I was acting. And when he said that, and then he said, well, I think you kind of just get one shot at this. I was like, okay, like I would actually disagree. Mm-hmm. I think you can work through this. But I also honor what you're saying and honor that you're saying you think that we should go our separate ways. He's like, yeah. He was like, and then he kind of backtracked a little. He said, like, there's not a lot of people that like have this similar values. So like, let's just keep it open-ended is what he said.
Of course he did.
And I was like, yeah, okay, sounds good. Even though in my head I was like, nah, like I'm not, what do you mean open-ended? You're not going to like text me at 2 a.m. like you up. Like that's not really what I'm doing. I don't know what open-ended meant to him. I learned what it meant to him. He texted me almost every day after just about like certain topics that we had been talking about. And I texted him back, but yeah, it wasn't like him courting me anymore or dating. And so I just kind of let that fizzle out.
Yeah, as you should. So like y'all haven't been talking. I know he was messaging you like literally the day after. I was like, what is this guy thinking he's doing?
But I was so confused because I so clearly vulnerably said like, I would love to, like, yes, this is uncomfortable and I would love to learn from this. I would love to grow in this. Like, but he had different plans, I guess.
And it was weird because he said at first, like, okay, like, I think we had one shot. This isn't going to happen. Like, it wasn't like he kind of kept it, like, super open at first. But then, like you said, like, he backtracked and, ew, I don't know. I'm over British guy. I love a British accent, not his.
Yeah, we don't need that.
We're done.
Yeah. And the beautiful part is, because I remember when I met him, I'm very spiritual. I talk to God all the time. And I was like, God, why are you introducing me to this guy? Like, you know, like, can you give me some signs? Like, I'm always looking for certainty in a very uncertain world. And I didn't have a clear answer. I didn't quite know, like, oh, is he right or is he not right? He had a couple things that were a little bit different than what I'm looking for. So I just wasn't sure if I should really invest or not. Of course, that's what dating is. You explore the person slowly to see if they align with you. But now in hindsight, I'm like, oh my gosh, of course this is why this relationship was gifted to me. I learned so much about my attachment patterns from this dynamic because it happened so quickly. So I couldn't blame myself or him for really anything. What really happened is my attachment wounding was highlighted by him pulling away a little bit. And I got to learn about that and work on healing with that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I would have been as invested in healing some of my attachment patterns if this hadn't have happened, because I have read all the books and I have read or done a lot of the workshops and trainings, but there's still always deeper places that you can learn and you can grow. And it humbled me to say, hey, I don't know everything about dating, and I get to be a student. I get to learn. I get to grow. I get to heal. And so I'm really grateful for British Man, even though it didn't work out.
I am too, for you.
Thanks.
So we kind of talked about this last week, like me and you personally, but are you like, where are you with dating?
Ooh. Oh, shoot. I have a text message I was supposed to respond to. This guy invited me to this like Preds game.
Preds. Yeah.
But I'm not supposed to be dating. So
you're not?
Just for a little while. Okay. Like, just for like a few weeks. So I need to think about that. I'll figure that one out. So where I'm at with dating is British guy happened. That was hard. That was.
Well, I think because you had learned a lot through some of the relationships that we had talked about in the last podcast we did. Like,
yeah.
And you're like, okay, like I'm feeling really hopeful about this. And like, I feel like I'm at a good place for something like this. And then it didn't work out.
Yeah.
And I think that's painful because sometimes we have a plan of like, okay, I've done a lot of healing. So like this is going to be it now. Like I'm going to like have this all figured out. Yeah. And it's like, newsflash, like you're not just going to like figure it out. Yep. Like it, you have to do that in relationship and with the right type of person. And sometimes it takes a while to find that type of person to be able to like really heal in relationship with.
I love that you just said that because a lot of people think, especially with what I specialize in, a lot of confidence, a lot of self-love, a lot of leadership, a lot of going towards your dreams. A lot of women take that term, self-love, people in general too, thinking you have to be perfect before you meet your person. You have to love yourself fully before you meet your person. No, I am exhibit A, that you do not need to love yourself perfectly before you meet your person.
Hello.
We're both exhibit A.
My gosh. I'm literally reading this self-esteem book and every day I'm like, oh my God, I have the lowest self-esteem. What am I going to do? But I'm actively also like
working on it
and working on, you know, creating a forever life with a person. Yeah. So I'm having these aha moments of like, oh, I have a small little shrivel of self-esteem left. We got to build that back up. And like, that doesn't mean I just like dump my guy and have to work and do that alone. Like, you can still actively like be pursuing somebody while you're pursuing loving yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as your best friend, I would say, I think you have more self-esteem than you realize. You're just watering it.
Yeah.
You're taking out some of the weeds.
Yes. There were some weeds that were covering up everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We enter relationships to heal. We heal in relationship by moving towards that person and learning how to communicate and how to connect. And our friendship is that. Like, I've healed so many of my friendship wounds in our friendship.
1,000%.
So we should definitely talk about that.
Yeah.
So I think I was at a point where I was following a little bit of the false narrative unintentionally that, oh, I've done this deep work and I know myself well. So now I am perfect and ready. And it's like, no, you aren't. And I had a big trigger come up and I get to love that trigger and learn from that trigger. So that was hard after British guy. I went on Hinge like shortly after just to numb a little bit before actually realizing, oh, wait, you can heal from this.
Yeah.
So not proud of that. I don't recommend that. But I did that. And I went on one date with one guy. And it's been the slowest dynamic with this guy. I'm not sure. And I'm also like really working on healing right now.
Yeah.
So that's the Preds guy that I need to decide if I should tell him like, hey, I'm just going to take a month and then I'll text you. I think that's what I'm going to do.
I think
rather than like forcing it just because he's asked me on a second date.
Yeah. And I feel like if he's the right guy, he's going to really respect that.
I would agree.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would totally agree.
So one thing I think we've both been learning is like there's so many different types of relationships and we can heal through we heal through relationship. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't always mean like maybe that significant other hasn't like come along yet. But I feel like I have healed and grown so much through having like a friendship that has really supported me and also like having another person like value growing and healing with like just the people in their in your community and in your small group. Because I think sometimes people can listen and be like, oh, I don't have that. And it's like, you don't have to have that to start growing and healing with the people that are in your life.
I have full body chills. Yes.
And we were talking yesterday and I'm doing like listening to all these different podcasts and different workshops and things. And I was just called Nora and I was like, I just want to say, like, I know we don't always get it right. We definitely don't. But it's so cool to like be learning these things about how to like show up for somebody like in true empathy instead of like showing sympathy in relationship. Like, I feel like I've learned that probably the most with you. Not even like me and Adam are obviously learning that now in like our couples therapy and stuff, but really being able to like, when somebody comes to you and is like hurting and in something, like doesn't mean I have to like get in the hole with you, but be able to like fully support you. I never knew how to do that before our relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's been really healing for me because I feel like there have been times where I felt like shame in friendship and would block a lot of people out when I was going through something because I think I was hurt in the past by feeling like judged or not fully seen or like seen and then been like, oh, but I don't want to go there. But I feel like we both have really valued that in each other when we have felt like, oh, like my friend is really like in this with me.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I also want to just mention for Hannah, you just said a lot of people are going through this journey with themselves and they feel like they have no friends that they can talk to about it. Mm-hmm. That's was me too before meeting you and then one of my other friends Emma and my other friend Regina, that you are all more recent adult friendships of mine. And when I started listening to these podcasts and reading these books and really trying to figure out who am I and what do I value and what do I believe instead of being a chameleon, because I was a total chameleon in all my relationships and all my friendships, aka a people pleaser, just trying to make everyone else happy and not disrupt the peace and make sure no one's mad at me. That was like my end goal in all relationships, which is looking back, wait, what was I doing? But it was just what I knew. It's just how I knew how to relate to people. So when I started shifting this pattern is when I started doing it by myself, and a lot of my friends judged me for it. Mm-hmm. They would be mean to me about it. They'd be like, oh, Nora's not drinking as much anymore, so Nora's not fun. Or like, oh, Nora has to wake up to do yoga in the morning. She doesn't want to go out with us anymore. And it was just judgment and shame. And it sucked because it was like I felt bad for wanting to change. But now looking back, I realize when friends say that to you or judging you, really they're just scared that they're going to lose you. They're scared that because potentially you're doing something that's mirroring back to them that they're not doing for themselves. Whatever it is that they're afraid of or scared of, and that's the root of why they're judging you, it has nothing to do with you. Mm-hmm. And so for people listening of like they're changing, they might have some friendship conflicts right now, realize that person isn't actually coming at you to be mean to you and hurt you. They're probably being mean and hurting themselves and they're projecting it onto you. And my friendships really started changing when I started learning that specifically, that one piece of information that oftentimes when people are mean, they're just projecting their own insecurities. That helped me be free of the people pleaser pattern and then actually start showing up authentically in my friendships. Mm-hmm. And you were one of my first friends that I was really able to be like, okay, I'm not going to perform. I'm not going to please. I'm just going to be honest. So I think that's how I've healed a lot in our relationship. Yeah. And we talked about this the last episode, but I think it's really important to note when you did start pulling away a little bit for random little reasons, instead of me then pleasing more or pulling away too, I leaned in. Mm-hmm. And I think that's such an important part to share because it's cool to talk about, oh, adult friendships and female friendships. But to go further from that is how. How do we have adult friendships and female friendships? And I think a big part is very clear communication. Brené Brown says clear is kind. Mm-hmm. So clearly say, I'm feeling this or I'm experiencing this. And lovingly share.
Caring.
Hey, I, yeah, like really I love caring. You. Yeah. And I'm sharing this because I love you.
And so. I care about our friendship.
Yeah.
And I want to have friendship. I mean, that's probably, I was in such a weird place when we first met and like have been continuing to heal from all that, like really didn't and have struggled with like trusting people. So like, how can you build friendships when you don't trust anybody to let them in? And I think for me, like when I think about what do I need in friendship or what has friendship looked like for me, it's really been people showing that they care in the good times, like when I'm at like my mountaintops and when I'm like in the depths of the valley. And that is having those clear conversations of like, hey, I know you're going through something and it's making me feel hurt. And it's like, oh my gosh, like I'm, and then realizing like sometimes when like we're hurting the other people around us, and being able to clearly say, hey, it literally has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
I'm going through something and I'm like a little ashamed of it. Cause I think that's a lot of the issues in friendships is we'll get a little vulnerable. Like we've let the friend into, you know, parts of our lives. Like the fun parts are the parts that we feel like, okay, we can put on our act for, and like, this is how a friend is supposed to be. I think we all have like in our mind, like what's a friend supposed to be? It's supposed to be really fun. A person that, shows up with a smile on, is ready to have like cheers to the drink, can take all the fun pictures, can like be there tap dancing. Like that's how I thought a friend was supposed to be. Like that's how I thought I was supposed to show up. Really, friendship is so much more vulnerable than that. And it's being a friend is being able to be like, hey, I'm calling you today because I'm like really struggling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just need you to like, I need to tell somebody and I trust you enough to know that you can hold that and hold the weight of what I'm going through and like love and support me. And that's actually how our friendship is going to grow deeper. Like that thought that like, oh, my friend's actually going to love me more when I'm more vulnerable and show like all the parts of me versus thinking that my friendship is going to grow if I can just continue to like be smiley and fun and like always up for everything. Like that actually isn't really deepening our friendship.
Yep.
Maybe is making for better Instagram pictures and better Instagram stories, but it's not actually deepening the friendship.
And it's not real at all. Yeah. And then you don't feel connected. You don't feel safe. You don't feel trusting.
Yeah.
And you don't have that.
And I think just as we were talking about like in like romantic relationship, it takes time. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes when we're looking for new friends, we can be like, if it's that first date with a friend, you're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I do think we can trust that intuition a little bit. If like things, if you're not aligned in a lot of ways that you like view life, like, yeah, maybe that's not going to be like the best friend. But you also don't like have to dump everything on a friend right at the beginning.
Totally.
Like trust, like learning how to like actually trust somebody is like a dance. And it takes a little bit to learn the steps to do that. And I feel like that was definitely the case with us.
Yeah.
It took a little bit for us to both let each other in and actually know what's going on. So I think that's something to really look for in friendships, like especially as an adult. And also we kind of talked about last time too, but I think it's important to reiterate is having somebody that can like really show you where your blind spots are.
Yeah, call you out.
You have to be able to call each other out, but in a loving way. Mm-hmm. But that's where that trust comes in. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's really important to have like rooted first. Obviously, it's something that like you continue to build, but a friend isn't going to let you like continue to live in a way that is not actually aligned with what you've told them.
Yeah.
What you've like trusted them of knowing is like your goals and your values. Like, I think a lot of times we've both been like people pleasers in the past. So you feel like, oh my gosh, I can't say anything that they might feel hurt. But actually, like, it's better to like feel like, oh, that kind of hurt to hear the truth from somebody who loves you than from somebody who's not actually like choosing their words wisely and really is like wanting the best for you.
Yeah.
And we have definitely
had to learn how to do that. And we've both fallen short and then we've gotten it right.
Yeah.
And it's just like being able to have compassion for just knowing that we're both trying.
Compassion for ourselves.
Yeah.
When we get that feedback, compassion for you when you share it or vice versa. And I actually trust you more because you tell me the truth.
Yes.
I have a really hard time trusting people who can't, like, imagine if I wore an outfit and, or, okay, better example. I had like a piece of green spinach in my teeth and I said to you, like, do I have anything in my teeth? And you were like, no.
And no, then, no, you're good.
And
you look beautiful.
You look beautiful. You look perfect. And then I walk the bathroom a minute later and there's green spinach in my teeth. I'd be like, okay, something's not adding up. Hannah's not telling me the truth.
Yeah.
Even though it's awkward.
And that's
to
so
say,
many friends. I feel so like that's friends. A lot of how, you know, when you have like a lot of friends, like that's most of the friends that you quote, air quote friends.
Yeah.
It's hard to find somebody to be like, hey,
yeah,
I know you just took a lot of time with your hair, but I need to go back and help you. You know?
Yeah. Like, yeah. And I think the piece that's really important here is how you share that information.
Yeah.
Because I have had friends who do give me feedback, but it's really blunt and sometimes mean. And that does hurt.
Yeah.
Versus like when it's like feedback out of love and they share that. I always say it's a sandwich approach. And I think this really helps. Like, start with love, then give them the meat, AKA, hey, and you look beautiful today. And there's a little bit of spinach in your teeth. And there's a bathroom right around the corner. We can go there together and get it out.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, give them love at first, give them the sandwich, the meat in the middle, and then at the end, more bread to say, we can do this together. I'm on your side.
I love that. I'm so proud of us.
Me like, too.
Like I said, like genuinely like called Nora yesterday and was just like, I'm just so glad I have a friend that I can like learn and grow and figure this out with. And we're also both like, in a newer city. It's been almost a year for me. Nora's been here for like
6 months.
6 months. And, you know, I think having one solid friend is like, we're lucky for that.
I
but
agree.
How are we going to continue to build our community? And we're taking like, this is the kind of conversations that we're having when we're meeting new people and being like, okay, do they align to this? Do I feel like they really care about me? Do I feel like they're actually like telling me the truth and being able to like, show me my blind spots and doing that in a kind, loving way. Like those are the things that we are looking for in friendship. And hopefully that can help you as you're trying to figure this all out.
Yeah.
Today is about looking for new ways to better ourselves. But sometimes that means looking in a totally different place or even a different state. In South Dakota, travel is transformative. It's good for the soul. It's the kind of place to just let go, to escape from routine and predictability of life, to put down the phone and pick up a sense of adventure and to see the world a little bit differently, as in not through our screen. Life in South Dakota is about unplugging from it all and connecting with the world around you. It's about being open to real surprises and treating your senses to a real, raw, natural beauty that doesn't need a filter. Whether you're exploring the mountains and trees of the Black Hills, hiking through the Badlands, navigating the wild towns, or camping under the stars, South Dakota is the place to get a little lost and find yourself along the way. See why there's so much South Dakota, so little time at travelsouthdakota.com. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin's cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? You heard that right. Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. Each Dunkin' cold K-Cup pod is packed with the smooth, bold Dunkin' flavor you crave. Pick up a pack of Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods and enjoy a Dunkin' cold coffee at home whenever you crave it. Just brew over ice and sip in seconds because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be. We're going to do a few of your questions. I feel like I cut it a little short with giving y'all time to give me some questions today. I will try to do better about that next time I have Nora on so I can get more from you guys. But I'm going to do just a few of them that you guys sent. The first one is, what does it look like to love difficult people well? Example, annoying roommates. I had 10 roommates in college, so I
had 11. We've never talked about that.
Oh my gosh, we never talked about that. Yeah. So, which is funny because I wanted to like live alone right after, but it was actually really great because you have to deal with a lot of different mm-hmm. personalities. Mm-hmm. What do you feel like you learned through that experience?
Oh, yes. Acceptance is so big for love. So mm-hmm. there's a difference between conditional love and unconditional love. And conditional love is, I will only love them as a person or as a friend if they wear this outfit or do this thing or have this belief. Unconditional love is, hey, I have a different belief than them and I still love them. Like, they don't have to have conditions mm-hmm. for me to love them.
And I think also like boundaries is important.
Yeah.
And as we've kind of taken this whole like hour to talk about, it's like really having conscious communication.
Yes.
Like with roommates, you're sharing a bathroom, for example, like it is so easy to get so irritated by little mm-hmm. things, but a normal person, if you like have a very conscious, open, compassionate conversation about like, hey, don't do this, or this kind of bothers me sometimes when yep. you do this. Can we really be conscious of X, Y, and Z mm-hmm. in the bathroom? Mm-hmm. Most people are going to be like, oh my gosh, thank you for letting me know.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they're going to get it right every time. Yeah. But I feel like just having those kind of conversations and accepting them for who they are, because you're not going to change them completely. But there can be some boundaries that you communicate with each other that can really help.
And for people who are afraid of saying boundaries, the example I always give is, it's like when someone comes into your home, if you're the type of home where you keep your shoes on, mm-hmm. then you keep your shoes on and you notice you keep your shoes on. If you're the type of home where, oh, actually, we take our shoes off when we enter our home, that's exactly what boundaries are. No one gets upset when someone's like, oh, can you take your shoes off? Like, we're a home that takes our shoes off. It's just the boundary of your home.
Yeah.
So same with any other dynamic in life. It's, oh, actually, to have a relationship with me or to share a bathroom with me, this is how I do it. How do you do it? Let's talk about it. Let's meet somewhere in the middle.
Totally. The next one is how to maintain friendships after you all have children. Nora and I don't have children, but I do, like, one of my other best friends has three mm-hmm. kids. And I will say it can be tricky sometimes because her schedule is so different than mine. And then I have a lot of other friends that are friends with my specific best friend and that also have children. And when we actually talked about it, like, it's hard because you're trying to like raise other humans, and it can also be really isolating being a mom. But you feel like, okay, like this is just who I am now. So what we talked about actually very recently, me and some of my girlfriends who have kids, is like, they're really trying to prioritize setting aside a friend a month that they really want to make sure that they connect with. So it's a doable goal.
Yeah.
And like, for example, my best friend, Madison from home, who has three kids, like she came up to Nashville from Birmingham and we got to spend a day together.
Yeah.
And it was so awesome. She brought her baby with her and it was the best. But like, we had been talking about it for so long, but really being intentional about planning when you can spend time with your friends. And I think being really gentle with what type of expectations that is.
Yes.
It's not like, if we're being, you're not going to be able to talk to that friend every day.
Yeah.
Maybe not in every week, mm-hmm. but like once a month to really catch up, like that's doable. So setting like gentle expectations of what the friendship's going to look like in this season of life, but also being really intentional about
it. I totally agree.
Okay. Last one, how to encourage and uplift friends who are obsessed with trying to find a partner.
Oh, that's a big one.
Yeah.
I would ask them what is underneath that? What's their fear? What are they running from? And show them, because oftentimes people think that if they have a partner, then they'll be able to avoid a certain insecurity or fear or pain. But if that person has a safe space where they can communicate about that insecurity or about that fear or about that pain, shame thrives in secrecy.
Mm-hmm.
So if the shame can be spoken to with you, what this person is asking is, hey, how do I support them? You can support them by really seeing them and understanding them and giving them a safe space to talk about what they actually are feeling. then that will dissipate for them. It'll disappear and they'll feel a lot more whole and complete and safe with who they are authentically. And then dating will be a lot more fun for them and a lot more exciting for them.
I love that advice. I also think realizing that sometimes like being single and not having your person yet, like it can be a little lonely at times. Yeah. So being able to like validate that, but then also encourage your friend, like there's so many other ways that you can build connection with other people that's not specifically like a romantic partner. Yeah. And really being there for them in that way, but mm-hmm. also like encouraging them to get themselves out there more, not just so they can find a partner, but that they can find community. Yeah. Because we have a lot of friends that are single and actually like thriving, but it's because they learned how to build a community and that there are so many different types of love out there. I do think a romantic partner is important in life. I really do. But I think that there are so many, like you can't just have a romantic partner and then no friends or no community either.
It's both.
It's at the both. Same time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so really focusing on that when, you know, are putting a little bit more focus into those other relationships that you already have and still being super excited and expectant for when that comes.
Yep.
But that can't be where the full focus is.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this was so fun.
This is so fun.
I love you so much.
I love you too.
I love having you on. We'll really work on like as you guys utilize Nora more on this, we can start catering our episodes to what you really specifically want to work on and talk about, whether that's career, whether that's how to become a leader, and really just use and benefit Nora in that way while also getting to have updates on her life and our life. And I'm just really excited and blessed to have you. And thank you guys so much for listening.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Thank you guys so much for listening to the episode. Better Tomorrow is produced by me, Hannah Brown, and Legos Creative. Our producer is Andrew Stalmer. Our show is recorded, engineered, and edited by the Legos Creative team. Remember to follow Better Tomorrow wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss the next episode. And don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps and shows your support. You can follow me on socials at Hannah Brown, and you can stay updated on all things Better Tomorrow on our Instagram at Better Tomorrow and our TikTok Better Tomorrow Podcast.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.